From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispal, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispal.com.
A new season and new jingles. Thank you very much, Matt, for them. They're lovely to start the 2019 season of From the Pavilion. Welcome and thanks for tuning in. On today's show, lots coming up. We'll be speaking to Cambridge Cricket Club 2's captain, Hamza Rashid, talking about their great start to the season so far. We'll be quizzing the current From the Pavilion quiz champion, Sam Rippington, a regular feature on our show. We'll be going through the Cam's Honours Boards as well, looking at who was the best in the senior and junior divisions across the county on the weekend. And we'll be hopefully joined by Nigel Gadsby as well, who's playing for Cambridgeshire over 50s today. It's a local derby for them against Huntingdonshire, the first match of the season. See how they're getting on in just a bit. And we'll be talking England as well, as they romped a victory yesterday against Pakistan. 6-wicket win. And playing in the course of the World Cup this summer, we're speaking to Callum Guest about their squad and who he thinks, with the pick of the bowlers, of course, Jofra Archer will make the 11, I'm sure. Lots coming up on today's show. Let's get started, though. So let's start then and talk Cambridge Cricket Club 2s. But before that, let's just run through the results from the weekend and our Cambridgeshire sides. Burn Exing, well, they were back to winning ways, beating Sudbury by 31 runs. Cambridge Cricket Club 1s lost to Swarton by 6 wickets. And Saffron Walden beat Vauxhall Mallards by 2 wickets as well. All of our three sides are 2 wins and 2 losses. Saffron Walden in 7th, Burn Exing in 8th and Cambridge Cricket Club in 9th. Keeping it very tight for us to keep us on edge. And in terms of Whiting and Partners, top of Division 1 is Sawston and Babraham, top of Division 2 is Blenheim, and at the top of the tree in Whitings and Partners 3 is Eton Soak and 2s as well. So let's talk Cambridge Cricket Club 2s then. And Cambridge Cricket Club, sort of a mixed start to the season, 1-2 and lost 2, but nothing mixed about the second team. The captain, Hamza Rashid, joins me in the studio, and of course Callum Guest is here as well. So Hamza, let's start with you. What a start to the season it is, 2 from 2. You must be delighted with how your side are going at the minute.
Yeah, we are. Thank you, Ollie, for bringing me here on the radio tonight. I'm a little bit nervous now. So yeah, good start.
Yeah,
We've got good signings in this year, so it's a great start, actually.
Mm. And wins against Ramsey and March as well. Two sides were really competitive in the division last year, won matches against lots of big sides as well. So, you know, by no means a stretch, it was two easy games to start with,
I played against Ramsey in last, like, 5-6 years back when I was playing for Huntington. Never won a game against them, so I was delighted as a captain winning against them. That's the best part. And then March, we haven't won again against the first team when we were playing as Granta. So, you know, it's a good start.
Mm. And, yeah, I was going to say, at the top of the tree, along with them at the minute, is Sawston and Babraham. Callum, are you looking over your shoulder a bit at Cambridge Seas?
Yeah, they've got off to a good start. There's a few teams around, Eton Soken and Wisbeach. They've also got off to great starts. No, we know if we just keep winning, it's going to be difficult to chase. So.
Yeah, and in terms of the side at the minute, Hamza, you're starting really well with your batting. You know, the opening pair, the bats scored 93 in the first week, 138 in the second week. So you're going really well and putting a lot of pressure on the opposition with the bat straight away.
I've been very lucky, like, with all these youngsters. I can pull up anyone to go and open. Sash did it last year for us, scored against, I think, 600 runs or, you know, in the season. But Nick Taylor has, like, changed up the opening thing. And Miles, as a youngster, after coming back from Australia, is playing really well. So he's a different batsman now.
Yeah, speak about Nick a bit, because I think he was playing for Worsley last year and done really well so far this year. Scored 51, not out, and 112 in his first two matches for the second. So not a bad average to get this kick off the new season.
Well, I think he's averaging, like, 160-odd at the moment. So.
But he's been really good and in great form. He looks in good touch. And in terms of the ball, everyone's contributing with that as well. It's not just, you know, one or two bowlers taking all the wickets. All the bowlers are contributing with the ball.
Deepak has started really well with the new ball, and luckily Asama as well. So, you know, me and John are just doing the middle part at the moment. We haven't had a great like competitive matches up till now. But let's see, it's going to be like this week, Eton Sokin, so it's going to be an entirely different ball game.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. And is there anything sort of a special formula in terms of the two wins out of two so far? Or is it just, you know, you've executed your skills both with bat and ball pretty well?
Sorry, Nick, I missed you. What did you say?
Is there any sort of special formula, you know, to how the side started in Whiting's one? Or is it just
not really.
You've executed
just
your skills?
Got like four or five older players, as I am, and there's a few others as
experienced.
Well.
Experienced.
So that's how it's going on with the bunch of youngsters. And, you know, they are actually really talented to, you know, I've been running around with them for the last four or five years now as a captain, so it's pretty much easy.
Yeah, have you found that transition from Whiting's two to one pretty comfortable, looks it so far?
At the moment, it's not much difference, but I'll feel, you know, it will come up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'd say, have you noticed any sort of stark differences in terms of...
It is like, you know, the other teams are... It's a competitive cricket, so it's not like easy when you were playing in Senior 1 and Whiting's 2. So,
So the aims for this season, in terms of the first team, obviously... In the APL, you come up from Division 2 last year into Whiting's 1. So what are the aims for yourself?
I really want our first team to win the EAPL. So that's our main club thing. And as long as we stay in this league, that's the best part of it. You know.
And it looks as though you will now, because the news today about God Manchester Town dropping out of the league.
Yeah, that's actually great news for everyone.
So you've got a pretty comfortable season knowing that you're not going to be relegated.
Yeah, that's good. That's good for everyone, actually.
Yeah. How does it work then with the first team and the second team? Because we spoke a lot on the show last season and this season about sort of the perfect balance between where the sides sit in the either it's the APL or the Camden Lions Premier League. In terms of yourselves at the minute, the ones are in the APL, the twos are now in the league below in the Whiting's one. Do you think that's a good sort of balance between the two sides?
That is really good balance, because we've got like 15, 16 odd players who can make the first team, so which really makes it easy for us to be in this level, like just below them. But it's just like it's going to be hard work to keep up there, you know, with the two teams on the top league if you haven't got new people coming in the club. So
it's a good marker, isn't it? It's a good marker for a first team to see people scoring runs in the league below. It means that the first team's got faith in, you know, they can make that step up. I mean, the step up's relatively big, but if someone scored 100 in the Tucker League, they could probably hold their own easily, comfortably in the APL. So it's a good marker. So for Cambridge to have teams in the top two divisions is good for their captain. Good for their first team captain.
Yeah, I was going to say it must be good for the ones, knowing that players in the twos are not really sort of snapping at their heels, but you know, putting in performances that are going to make them think about their place.
But also from a first team point of view, the reluctance from people in the first team is that they don't want to drop down into second team cricket. But actually, if you've got a team in the top league in the Tucker or the Whitings and Partners, that reluctance goes away, and actually to get yourself into form is make the captain question decisions and stuff like that. It's a good step down.
Yeah, it's a win-win really. If any of the players from the first team drop down, it's going to be strengthening the twos, and if players are in form and feeling really good about their game, it's only going to help the first team as well. So it's just a great position to be in. If the if you continue this good start to the season in Hamza, and 2 from 2 comes say 16 from 16, and Cambridge finish top of the Whiting's one, what happens in terms of the situation with the first and second team? Is there sort of regulations? Can you have two teams in the APL?
No, it doesn't matter then. Two teams can't be in the EPL. Two teams from the same club. But yeah, if, like it depends on like the first team. Obviously, the players can go up and down, not the teams.
So
I'm not fit enough to play in the EPL, so that brings out of the thing, you know, like.
Yeah, I imagine. So your job, in a way, is always to sort of nurture those sort of young players and get them ready to, if they want to, and if they're good enough to then go up into the first
team. Yes, I mean, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been working on that anyway. So all these youngsters have been playing with me, like, for now, last 4 years' time. So we've won two leagues now, 2015 and 2018 now. So, you know, it's a good sign for the youngsters, like for the setting up for the EAPL. So.
Yeah, and Eton Sokin this weekend, you said probably your first real test.
Yes.
So looking forward to it.
Yes.
So What would, would you reckon would be different with them compared to the other two sides that you face so far?
We're missing a few players this week, so the test becomes more difficult. Nick is not playing. Well, let's see. I mean, I can't say really much about them. I haven't played against them for a long time, so...
But they were challenging Sawston and Seth Morton, actually, for the title last season, Callum. So a side that they're going to be hoping themselves to be up there once again this season.
Definitely, they've got good bowling attack, and with Dorban leading it, and the batting's led by Carpenter. So, no, they haven't... I think they've recruited a couple of players as well, so they haven't lost anyone. So you'd expect them to be there or thereabouts. And the way they've started the season, they've had pretty two convincing wins. So we're expecting them, we said a couple of weeks ago, we'd be expecting them to be challenging us. Foxton, by the bowl accounts, I think their availability of players at the moment is their main issue. But no, it's good to see Cambridge doing well and, you know, putting the cat amongst the pigeons, as we say. But
yeah, there's four sides in Whiting's one that are 100% record so far. Yourselves, Cambridge 2s and Eton second, and then Wisbech as well.
I think it reiterating what Hamza said earlier about just that competitive game. We haven't really had a competitive game other than the National Cup games. We actually haven't had a competitive game in the league as of yet. I think that's mainly down to early season. Tends to happen in league cricket. People not netting or coming back from holidays and stuff like that. It tends to happen where you get a lot of one-sided games, but get to the middle part and latter stages of the season when people are back and, you know, match practice in, you expect to see a few more competitive games, because looking around the leagues and in all the leagues, there hasn't been too many competitive games where they've gone down to the wire. And
let's just touch on Gold Manchester, and obviously the news this morning that they've dropped out of the league. If you look at it from a God Manchester Houghton, you'd probably say, for securing the sort of sustainability of the club, it's probably the right thing to do. But in terms of the ramifications for the rest of the league, probably not great. You only play 16 games this season now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's meant that we've got 2 weeks off in July. So out of the four Saturdays, we're not playing in two of them, because obviously we've got the bye week as it is. And then the following week, God Manchester have now dropped out. So it's disappointing. I mean, as league cricketers, you don't think like you play enough as it is. So to now have that taken away from you even more is disappointing. And unless they've lost a few players, I think they'd probably back themselves with the players they had and the quality of people like James Sykes, Amil Gupta. They would have backed themselves to stay up. So unless they've lost a couple of players in the last week or so, it's a little bit of a strange decision. But I suppose, like you said, they've got to secure their own future. And if they feel that's the best way to do it, then fair play.
Yeah, and lots of for local sort of cricket. So it was quite a fair bit of chat on Twitter about the situation and what it means for sort of the leagues and all the sort of moving to Whiting's making it from two divisions to three this year, meaning you don't play as many games. Would you prefer to sort of stick for a two division system and then secure in probably some like sort of 20-22 games?
Yeah, probably is the better way to go. And although the teams down at the bottom, if there is going to be no relegation this season, although the teams down the bottom feel that they could have been down the bottom, will say that's all well and good. Having played in them situations before, I had a similar situation last year in the North Ants League where the team dropped out after six games. What it meant was it gets down to the latter part of the season and there's about five, six teams that have got nothing to play for because there's teams not challenging for the top.
There's no
competition. Yeah. And then that's when you get availability problems, selection. People aren't, you know, people don't want to give up their Saturdays because they're not playing for anything. And you're going to have that if there is no relegation this year, or that threat of relegation. You're going to have five or six teams this year that are going to have, you know, get to six, seven games left in the season. They have nothing to play for.
Is it too late, what, we're 3 weeks into the season? It's frustrating that it's so... all the leagues have just been sorted and then literally 3 weeks into the season this all happens, because there's sort of no real way you can sort of change it. You can't really then change it back to two divisions because all the fixtures will have to be redone. It's just such an annoying part. It's just at the start of the season.
And it's almost like, because they boosted, you know, Triplo got pushed up into the division as well as almost like a last minute decision. You can't really turn around to one of the teams below and say, you know, try and boost the top teams up from there.
Still from Whitening 2s, you can see a few clubs really want to play in the Whitening 1, like clubs like Huntington or St Ives. So it's really not good for them. If this would have done like a month before, St Ives could have made the Whitening 1 easily.
I suppose it's frustrating. It's just like when we talk about teams potentially winning the Tucker League and not wanting to go and play in that playoff game. Yeah. It's frustrating because, you know, you work hard all season for a team to turn around and go, actually. So I think they might have resolved that issue. I think if you now finish second, you have the choice to potentially go and play in that playoff. I might be wrong by saying that, but... you know, like you said, yeah. if it was a month earlier, they could have resolved the situation. And there's teams in that Whiting's 2 that want to push up into the Whiting's 1 and, you know, give them the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I guess the only thing possibly, I mean, if you look at sort of other sports have done it to try and make that period of the season where those bottom sides, it's the competitiveness of the season goes out because they know within what a month or so left they've got no chance of going up or down. The only thing I guess you could do is try and create some sort of like playoff between the bottom four teams of one league and the top four of the
That's
other.
That's why I'm always a massive advocate as well, the two up, two down system, because you always, most seasons, you're going to get one team that are the whipping boys or one team that dominates the league. It just happens most seasons. Whereas if you've got a second team that could get relegated or a second team that could get promoted, it creates that issue of everyone's playing for something right down to the wire. If it might be, you might fill up that second relegation spot. I think cricket's on a Saturday, cricket is meant to be competitive. You don't want to treat it like a friendly, so the league system needs to be, and that goes for the APL as well. It should have a two down system. You know, if that team that gets relegated comfortably drop straight down and then that playoff game happens with a team that finished second bottom, I think that's a lot better way to play your cricket. And also it stops the old boys club that can potentially be seen in the APL where it's very difficult to, once you're up there, it's very difficult to get relegated. You can almost settle.
Yeah, and Hamza, a final word from you then before we head to the travel.
Yeah,
Ian Soken this weekend, 2 in from 2, pretty happy how the season's going. So obviously apart from a few players missing this weekend, you're fairly confident this season, especially now with no relegation.
We'll just enjoy the season. That's what we are doing at the moment, just playing fearlessly. That's the main, you know.
My mentality, so no pressure, no interviews to get the pressure on.
Okay. There was no pressure under me anyway.
All right, cool. All the best the weekend, Hamza, and hopefully we'll get you back on the late on the season when Cambridge is still doing well. Perhaps not 100% record, I'm sure Callum Sawson will have something to say about that, but a decent record, no doubt. Cheers, Hamza.
Thank you.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Welcome back from the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're going to be quizzing some cricketers across the county now, and who better to start with than the From the Pavilion New Year's Day quiz champion than Sam Rippington himself. Good evening, Sam. You all right, mate?
Afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. How's your... How's your cricket knowledge as a whole? Clearly very good from New Year's Day.
Yeah, not too bad. I'm a bit of a badger. So
yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. I did have Who's the Biggest Badger in the title, so I thought you'd be good, yeah. So what we'll do is I'll read you out some about 20 odd questions. We'll give you a minute to answer as many questions as you can. And then whatever your score is, you will then have to try and double that score with a top 10 that you have to try and name, similar to what we did on the New Year's Day quiz. So your top 10 question is the highest run scorers in one-day international cricket for England. And that once you've got all those together, then we'll total up your points, if that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, we'll just tell you how many points you got at the end. And we'll tot up the leaderboard as the season goes on and crown the biggest badger at the end of the season. So so we'll put a minute on the clock. And we've got Callum keeping count. He said his maths ain't that great, so bear with us.
Oh, no, cheating.
If he does get the scores wrong. But let's talk a bit about Saturday first then, and on the weekend for Bowen Lexing. Beat Sudbury, beat last year's champs of the APL, so good win.
Yeah, fantastic win. Probably, I'd say, the best win we've had in the last 3 years. Didn't get many runs. We didn't think we'd have enough runs, but the bowlers pulled it out of the bag and bowled really well. So, yeah, it's a fantastic win for the boys.
And Cam's on Sunday, a win and a loss again. So obviously consecutive weeks that happened. So Hearts the first week, and I think Suffolk last week. So in sort of the similar situation last season, where you're second in the league and having to probably win all your last games to get that one spot into the finals there.
Yeah, we keep shooting ourselves in the foot, really. We kind of rock up at 11 don't turn up for the first game and then sort of destroy them in the second game. But no, it was good to get on the field and we had a good day out. Suffolk was quite a strong side, so it was good to get one win. But I must say, we're in the same position as last year, so just go one better against Bedfordshire and hopefully we'll be through to the finals.
Hopefully so. Clearly need to get to bed earlier on Saturday night, mate. That's what it is.
Yeah, too long a day on Saturday.
Yeah. Right, let's get started with the quiz then. I'll put a minute on the clock and that will start. The clock will start when I ask your first question. Callum is in pole position, keeping count ready with the scores. Ready, Callum?
Yes, mate.
Ready. So we'll start now, Sam. Name a county Ian Botham played for.
Somerset.
Correct. What does the abbreviation ST stand for?
Stumped.
Correct. Who was the first batsman to score 10,000 runs in Test cricket?
First batsman?
Yeah, to score 10,000 Test runs.
Pass.
Sunil Gavaskar. The St Lawrence ground is the home of which county?
Kent.
Correct, yeah. Who won the last Women's T20 World Cup?
Australia.
Correct. How many England players are in the top 10 ranked Test batsmen in the world?
Three.
Unlucky one. Which team did Devon Malcolm take 9 wickets in a 1994 Test innings against?
Australia.
South Africa. Who has taken the most Test catches for England, not including wicketkeepers?
Ian Botham.
Alistair Cook. Which English county has Brian Lara played for?
Warwickshire.
Correct. Which team describes a ball bowled out of the striker's reach?
Wide.
Correct. Which county won the county championship most times?
Middlesex.
Yorkshire. And finally, which county do Sheffield Shield games take place?
Australia.
Correct, yes. Callum, what was the final? What did you get in here? What was your total?
You got 2-4.
The tricky bit this is.
You got 7 out of 12, mate.
7. 7 out of 12. Happy with that?
Not too bad.
Okay, so as I said earlier, your top 10 is top 10 run scorers in ODI cricket for England. So if you get 1 right, you get 7. If you get 2 right, 14. 3 right, 21. 4 right, 28, etc, etc, etc.
Okay, cool.
If you get 1 wrong, you lose all your points and you can declare at any point.
Right, okay. I was rubbish at this last time. So.
You did have Willow on the phone though, so you can blame him. So.
Yeah, blame Willow.
Right, so starting off, who's your first name you're going to go for?
Owen Morgan.
Correct, he is top of the list with 6,157, 198 appearances as of yesterday. Next?
Paul Collingwood.
That is correct. 5,092. So let me get these. This all this nice jingle out ready. There you go. Look at that. Paul Collingwood was correct. Number 3.
I'm trying to think. It'd be someone like. It's quite tough actually. I'm trying to think of. Did we play for a long time? Ian Bell.
That is right. He's number 2 on the list with 5,416. So that's 3 so far. 21 points.
Marcus Juskovic.
He's on there too. 4,335. 28.
Getting tough now.
When do you start thinking about declaring?
Yeah, it's what I'm like. I'm thinking about one more, but. No, I'll tell you what, I'm going to declare.
You declare on 28 after 4. You learned from your mistakes last time.
Yeah, I'm going to learn because last time I went for it and got 0.
Oh, that's very. Well, you are top of the leaderboard. That's good news. 28, as the first guest of the season. I'll read out the correct, the other answers you didn't get. So you got obviously Owen Morgan at the top, 6,157. Ian Bell, 5,416 in second. Paul Collingwood, 5,092. In third, Joe Root is fourth with 5,137. Alex Stewart with 4,677 in fifth. KP is at sixth with 4,400. You said Trez with 4,335. And the three you didn't get, eighth, ninth and tenth, were Graham Gooch, Andrew Strauss and Alan Lamb as well.
Oh, there's a few names I should have got, but never mind.
28 points. Yeah, you are top of the leaderboard. 28 runs, should we say, Sam.
28 runs, lovely.
Happy with that?
More than I get all year. Perfect.
Your words, not mine, mate. Callum, what do you reckon of his score?
Yeah, good stuff, Rips. Nice work, mate.
Thank you.
Have you not got Peterson then?
Yeah, no, I'll just be honest. Yeah,
Do you reckon you could have better, Cal?
I don't know. Collingwood's a good shout for me. I'll give you that. I would have got Peterson. Peterson's got to be there, hasn't he? Mm. He's the first one.
I think Root will probably get towards that top two. You'd imagine if he keeps playing for them.
Yeah.
But anyway, hopefully Morgan and Root can add to that tally in the World Cup this year. How do you reckon they'll go, Sam, in the summer?
They've got to be favourites for the World Cup, haven't they? They're playing fantastic cricket at the minute. And then hopefully beat the Aussies in the Ashes as well. That'll top it off.
Yeah, hopefully so. And your 50-man World Cup squad, I assume, as Jofra Archer in?
Absolutely.
Misses out?
You've got to pick him. Quite tough, actually. Probably say Liam Plunkett, because he does a similar role to him. But it's quite hard to leave someone out when they perform so well over the last sort of 2 years. So tough decisions.
Yeah, and in terms of batting, obviously Alex Hales missing out because of certain off-field incidents. Probably assume that obviously it'll be Roy and Best opening up anyway. But in terms of men coming into the squad, James Vince will fill his place.
Yeah, Vince, fantastic player. To be fair, with Roy and Best, I keep going. I mean, we'll be fine. I think hopefully no injuries occur. We don't have to sort of get into the full squad. But Roy and Vince were fantastic yesterday, weren't they?
Mark Wood's a bit of a strange one. Hasn't played a game, I don't think, in probably since the West Indies, if I'm being be surprised if he has done, but a strange one really. I imagine he might play some part in these next probably two games if he wants to really get into any consideration for the 15-man squad or continue being the 15-man squad.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about it yesterday, so he's probably going to play the next two games. Hasn't played since March, which is weird, but he's got to be in there as well, proper pace, so I love it. Love seeing a quick bowler running, so yeah. Fingers crossed he's in there as well. But
yeah, just like you, mate. Right, that's brilliant. 28 out of, I'm not sure what the possible scores was. I'm sure Cannon will tell me his maths is pretty good. But 28, top of the leaderboard, Sam. So congratulations, and we'll get you on the show, I'm sure, once again very soon.
Perfect. Cheers,
thank
mate.
You, mate.
See you, Rip.
Bye. See you later, bud. Bye.
Sam Rifton there. Give him a round of applause for that. Very good score for him of 28. I'm sure, do you feel... I don't think it's a bad score, because there will be some people who will just like probably forget you can declare and then keep going and then get to like 7 and absolute bomb it.
And also the pass as well. He spent a while on the old Gavaskar question, didn't he? Number 3.
And
he struggled with
that. Yeah,
it
ruined a bit. Only 7 from the 1 minute round. But yeah, 28's not a bad score. We'll play some music and then come back and talk a bit about the national game with Callum. We'll try and get Nigel Gadsby on the phone as well. Cambridge Over 50s are playing today against Hunts, their first game of the season. And we'll read out those all important honours boards who top scored from the weekend cricket around the county.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Good evening and welcome back to the From the Pavilion podcast with myself, Callum Guest and Ollie Slack. We're going to the honours board now, starting with the Cam's bowling honours board. The top 10, Matt Daniels, top of the leaderboard. Foxton Cricket Club, 8 for 20. We've got Ben Shipp for Wilburton Cricket Club, 6 for 9. Daniel Wells, St Ives Town and Warboys Cricket Club, 6 for 12. Kieran Haynes for the Wisbeach First Team, 6 for 18. Saranga Rajaguru for Marchtown, 6 for 19. Adam Yates, Histon, 5 for 6. John Mallett, Wisbeach Town Cricket Club, 5 for 8. Matthew Dax, St Ives Town and Warboys Cricket Club, 5 for 17. Max Ayliffe, Bassingbourne Cricket Club, 5 for 26. And Alex Roger for Girton Cricket Club, 5 for 46. Now moving on to the batting honours board for the league on Saturday. We've got Oliver Bradbury at the top of the leaderboard for Coton Cricket Club, 114. Nicholas Taylor for Cambridge Cricket Club, second team, 112. Victor Swarner for Telugu Association of Cambridge Cricket Club, 108. Paolo Mastini for Coton Cricket Club, 103. James Wilson for Histon Cricket Club, 102. Richard Lee for City of Ely Cricket Club, 100. Cameron Brown for Chatteris Cricket Club, 100. Davis Poskett for Histon Cricket Club, 94. Humberto De Souza for Camborne Cricket Club, 86. And William Heslam for Foxton Cricket Club, another 86. And that's it for the Cam's Honours Board for the last week.
Yeah, congrats to all of those guys. Oliver Bradbury, a friend of the show, came in last year when Curtin won the Junior Cup final against Bluntisham. Moving on, yeah, so good knock from him again this weekend. And congrats to Matt Daniels at the top of the bowling honours board as well. 8 for 20 for Foxton. Ben Shipp for Will Burton sailing to the top of the honours board. Boom, boom, Callum didn't get it. right, moving on. Can't get hold of Nigel Gadsby yet to talk about Cambridgeshire 50s against Hunt, so we'll try a bit later on. Probably still out in the middle churning out runs. So let's move on to the national debate then. Callum, your 50-man squad for the World Cup, is it fairly sort of self-explanatory, similar to what Rip said?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same, isn't it? I suppose the only one is for Hales, potentially. You say James Vince. We could potentially look at Ben Duckett, maybe, with a left-hander option. Having played against him, he would definitely make my 15-man team. Dispatched it to all parts. Mm. And also, he's back on the radar, isn't he? They gave him a go in the 2020 game, which he didn't get many in. And also, his current form's not great, but it could just potentially have a look at him. Something different, left-handed batter opening up, and also play spin very well. So,
no word for Tom Banton as well?
Yeah, he's in good, that's for someone who's in good nick. Yeah. Jesus.
Anyway, yeah, looking at the, well, I say 15-man squad, it's 14 on the website. Meant to be 15, but obviously 14 because a certain someone was a naughty boy and got kicked out of the England squad. So the 14 players there, it's pretty much all set up, and it has been for a while, to be fair. That squad has been sort of nurtured together for the last, 4 years since that disaster World Cup in New Zealand and Australia. The bowlers then, like we said, Jofra Archer is going to come in. You've got David Willey, Chris Wokes, Mark Wood, Liam Plunkett and Tom Curran. What sort of qualities do you think all of those five offer? What are things you're looking for in your World Cup squad?
Well, they all offer they've all got individuals like attributes that Jofra has, the whole package. If you look at some of them, three out of the six of them have got, you know, pace. Plunkett, known as a quick bowler, Mark Wood, rapid, and then you've got deaf bowlers like Tom Curran. But Jofra does it both, so I suppose that's why he's an absolute shoo-in to get picked, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
And also he can smack it out of the park as well. He's shown that in IPL games and for Sussex. So he's definitely in. But I suppose the one that's getting a lot of criticism at the moment is Plunkett, because his pace is down. Obviously he's been known as the hit-the-deck basher bowler for the last few years, and he's done the job really well. But obviously with his pace down, there is a feeling that he could be there for the taking. Against a good, you know, against, I mean, we're talking later on in the competition. I think against, you know, we've shown against Pakistan, we're better than them. It's India and Australia, I think people are looking towards, and what attack's going to beat them, because I don't think you can be bowling 80, 82, 83 miles per hour, hit the deck, because that could go out the park to Kohli.
Yeah, and that sort of role that Liam Plunkett plays in the middle orders, that he was doing again yesterday, that is the sort of role you imagine Jofra will play until when he, say, three or four for the back end as well.
Yeah.
And like you say, if Jofra's definitely got that other extra few yards of pace
as well.
He's got
the quality, hasn't he? He showed with the new ball again the other day when he bowled at the Oval for them few overs. I mean, the spell he bowled was... you don't get many opening spells where you don't get many, you only get one wicket and it gets put in a highlight package. Serious movement, serious pace. So
David Willey's an interesting one, because probably before this series you'd have thought probably pretty one dimensional, just bowls at the top, but he's in the sort of these last couple of matches that have been played, he's coming to his own in terms of bowling at the death and showing what he can offer.
Yeah, definitely. He went a bit around the park yesterday, didn't he? Bowled 10 overs for 80 odd. It's going to happen when you're bowling at the start and bowling at the death. That's always going to happen. You're going to have a couple of bad games. I think that's part and parcel with the job. But looking around, yeah, I mean, Plunkett, you've got the argument to Wokes as well, how much cricket's Wokes played.
Mark Wood now, obviously, not playing a game since
I think
March.
With Mark Wood, he's that kind of luxury bowler where you'd probably pick him for a game and he'd have to have a game's rest because of his body. So it's almost like you pick him as a luxury item, but I think Rip said you need pace, and you need pace.
And in terms of your starting 11 then, sort of squeezing it down a bit more, you obviously got Moeen and Adil will bowl in there, running Ben Stokes will as well, so you're probably looking at three seamers.
Yeah.
You got, and Jofra's one of them, so we're looking at two seamers.
Yeah. I think we're going to go, personally, I think to start the competition I'll probably go Wood and Willey.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the competition get to, I think potentially Tom Curran comes in. I think his batting's improved massively. He can actually win you down later on, but death bowling especially. I suppose it comes to that. That comes down to the teams we're playing as well. I think,
Yeah, Joe Denley bowled one over of leg spin yesterday, and I think he only bowled one over in the T20 as well, and then got taken off. So he doesn't really seem like Morgan fancies him too much.
No.
I guess he's picked as well because he obviously offers a lot of his batting, but would it just make more sense for him to go over an out-and-out leg spinner, for example, like Matt Parkinson for Lancs? He's been bowling pretty well in the white ball stuff in the domestic cricket for a few years, rather than try and get two crickets into one.
Yeah, I suppose that is the argument, isn't it? But he's a batter that bowls a little. He's a batter that bowls a bit, isn't he? I mean, he does a job in 20-20 cricket for Kent, and 50-over stuff. He does a really good job for them with the white ball. But like you said, the batting is so strong, and we bat so long that actually, do we need him? He's going to be probably your 13th man anyway, I'd say.
I can't see him ever making any inroads on England in terms of their, you know, getting in ahead of someone in terms of his batting, with the lineup that, you know, you've got, like you say, Roy Bairstow, Butler, Stokes, Morgan, and Root. He's never really going to get in there just on a genuine batsman. So would it make sense more to go over a genuine leg spinner as backup for Adil or Moeen? I don't know. In terms of the going forward in terms of those games against Australia and Afghanistan, would you go into those games playing your starting 11 that you want to play in the first game against South Africa in both of those games against Australia and Afghanistan? Rotate a bit more?
Yeah, I don't think you want to show your hand to the opposition as to what team you want to go with. I think you still want to leave it bit up, you know, let them talk about it rather than show your hand. If we play our top 11 for these last two games, it's going to be pretty much, I think people can kind of pencil in the majority as it is, but having that kind of fluidity in the team as well could be useful. Is a useful asset to any team.
Let's talk Austin then, because
go on.
I'm quite happy to.
Yeah.
The only side who've played three and won three, but obviously because of the game you played against Ramsey earlier on.
Yeah.
But irrespective of that, you're still looking good, 100% record. Mm-hmm. I've played four teams on 100% record yourselves. Cambridge 2s, Eton Soken and West Beach, so all going well?
Yeah, no, it's a really good start. I spoke to you, we spoke about it earlier on actually, about teams dropping out and, you know, you want to play as many games as you can. We had the similar situation, hence why we played three games. Ramsey's pitch wasn't available for when we played them later on in the season, so we had the option to take the points or to play them a week earlier, and we chose to play them a week earlier because obviously of the lack of cricket that club cricketers get. So we chose that option. It actually nearly made us unstuck us a little bit because we played on a bit of a ropey deck away. I wasn't really prepared. I don't think they were prepared to play in April. But that's been a really good start. The lads have, you know, pretty dominant three performances we put in. Bit of a shake loss potentially on Saturday, and then obviously we had the National Cup, which we won a couple of weeks ago, and then this week, or last week, we lost to Cambridge, which is a bit disappointing.
Yeah, it was, looking from outside in, someone would obviously say that was the difference between Wharton and Partners 1 and the APL. Was it that?
I think they, credit where credit's due, they had a really, really good game. They bowled really well. Seamers hit the deck, hit the right areas, and then the spinners done exactly that as well, put the pressure on. And I think it was the difference of people facing quality seam and quality spin for the whole 40 overs. And then batting wise, Pep showed his quality. He got 50 not out, and he really did. He batted well in the situation. It was one of those situations where we'd scored an underpar score, and we were trying to put the pressure on. We got an early wicket, and as you can imagine, he's coming in, walking out number three, Essex lid and all on, which fair play to him. And like I said, he batted really well. And then the overseas coming in, hit a 30 runnable 30 odd. And also done really well. It would have been interesting. It would have been nice if we got 20, 30 more runs and we'd got one of them out early. I think that would have made a really, really good game of cricket. And that sounds ridiculous saying, bearing in mind they've just pumped us by 8 wickets with about 9 overs to spare. But honestly, I think they said after the game as well, 20 more runs and maybe getting out Pepper early would have made it a really good game. But I don't know. I mean, we miss Waxy as well.
So
we miss
Waccas.
Waccas was playing for Cambridgeshire, and if you can imagine, they put out the best team possible they could put out, and performed to the highest they could perform, and we underperformed, and didn't have our best team out. And that's not making excuses. I mean, like I said, they thoroughly outplayed us, and we hold our hands up to that. A disappointing thing for us is that we said we bat deep, and we didn't really show that capability on Sunday.
Yeah, and obviously, well, you've got a free weekend now because you were going to play God Manchester.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. In terms of Cambridgeshire, you spoke a bit about that with Waccas there. Next game is Sunday, 26th of May, against Norfolk at Sawston.
Yep.
If you could, in a minute, give us a bit of a preview for that.
Yeah, sure. No, yeah, it should be... I think the boys are looking forward to it. Like you said, we've done a double over in the last year in the 2020 stuff.
Is it a must-win?
I'd say we've got to win one. I think we'd back ourselves to go into the Bedfordshire game, and we back ourselves. They are, touch wood, potentially the weaker county in the division. So I think we'd back ourselves to beat them twice. It would take a pressure off if we can beat Norfolk twice as well. Mm-hmm. But they are a good team. They've shown that they qualified in the 50 over. We got them in the 50 over stuff in a few weeks' time as well. They beat Suffolk, who are also a very good team. But we played them enough to know their strengths and potential weaknesses, so hopefully we can exploit that. We've just got to make sure we turn up for that first game. I think the disappointing thing for the last two games is that we haven't shown up for that first game, and we've let ourselves down a bit.
Yeah, well, we will be covering that game on the Sunday 26th of May, Norfolk, live here on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're hoping to provide match commentary for you on the first game, which will be about 11 till 2, so we're up nice and early. And getting across to Sawston to bring you that game here live on Cambridge 105 Radio. Let's tell you a bit about what's coming up next on Cambridge 105 Radio then. Thank you, Callum, very much for today. Thanks to Hamza for coming in too, and Rippers for joining us on the phone. If you're listening on Wednesday night, then up next on Cambridge 105 Radio is Tim Willett with the New Music Generator, Cambridge 105 Radio's flagship show dedicated to local and unsigned music. If you're listening on Saturday, of course this show is repeated on Saturday 12 to 1. If you have missed a bit, then make sure you tune in Saturday before you get your whites on and play a bit of cricket. If you're listening on Saturday, then up next after us is Bums on Seats, the fortnightly cinema magazine show. So that's it here on From the Villain, the first of the season. We'll be back on Wednesday evening for another edition. See you then. Goodbye.